If you're a photographer who likes deals on gear, products, and services that make doing business easier, you must grab a free Expo Plus Pass for Imaging USA. The free Expo Pass unlocks all the magic of the Imaging USA Expo, which features over 130 of the industry's leading brands showcasing their latest products. Touch, try, and buy at an incredible discount, and enjoy all the extra perks the pass offers, like the opening keynote session, networking avenue, and more. See why thousands of photographers return to the Expo year after year. Don't wait. Claim your free pass today at imagingusa.com. That's imagingusa.com. I'm Pat Miller, and this is the Professional Photographer Podcast. You know that moment when you're in a session and you just quit thinking? You see things in a different way. It's as if time slows down. You're capturing the images that you've always wanted to capture. You're vibing with your subject, and that's where the best work happens. Today's guest calls that shooting in flow. Sophia Barrett, she's teaching at Imaging USA, and she's on the show today. She is an artist's artist that currently is using a camera to express herself. And on today's show, we're going to talk about how she purposely sets up her sessions so she can spend those sessions in flow. We'll talk about what's great about doing it that way. We'll talk about some of the downsides of shooting in flow. And we'll talk about how you can find your flow, capture better images, and express yourself as an artist that just so happens to be using a camera. Sophia Barrett is standing by. We'll talk to her next. Sophia, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I am doing great. How are you doing, Pat?
I'm good. You were telling me before we went on air, you've just been kicking butt left and right. You've been busy today. How has the day gone for you?
I wouldn't say I'm kicking butt, but today was a good day. We got a lot done. So definitely got a shoot out of the way, did some editing, even did a bit of filming. So today was a great day.
Oh, fantastic. And you're taking a minute to be here with us, which I really appreciate it. If someone hasn't had the chance to meet you yet, tell them who you are and what you do.
Well, my name is Sophia Barrett. I am a portrait photographer. I really consider myself as a multidisciplinary artist. I am located in Atlanta, Georgia. My husband and I own Sophia Barrett Studios, and we specialize in creative portraiture for women. And we love to empower women, especially women of color. Our work is very powerful, and our mission is very, very driven. Like we know exactly what makes our hearts sing, the kind of artwork that makes our hearts sing. And we love creating family heirlooms for our clients.
Your work is unbelievable, and it's so different and unique. And when we had the chance to talk before, you talked about your flow as the way that you get through your work and find your creative talents. How would you describe your flow when you start into a shoot and you really start to feel it?
Before I get into a shoot, I like to have some peace and some quiet, a moment where I'm able to like just focus, like the set is done. We've already done lighting. We've already done testing. Right now it's just finishing touches, but I like to be able to have a moment to where I feel like, okay, we've done everything. We've handled everything. So now I can just focus on the artistry. So once I get to that point and we start to shoot, of course, by that time, we've already spent time with the client. The client has been in hair and makeup. We've got the client dressed. And I'm an introvert. I like to be home. I like to be with my family. I also like alone time. But I kind of lose myself in finding like and enjoying the joy of my clients. So when they're getting dressed, we're getting them dressed, actually. We're putting lotion on them. We're pampering them. They start to really be in this sense of relaxation and pure enjoyment because we've taken care of everything prior to the shoot. So I kind of get lost in how excited they get And we're very attentive to making sure that they feel comfortable, that everything that they need is there and ready for them. So when we start to shoot, I've connected with them already. So it's really easy for them to start to trust me. And part of how I get my clients to pose in a really, sensual way, in a way that feels vulnerable, is by first making sure that I'm vulnerable, making sure that I help them see, you know, the kind of expressions I want them to give off and how I breathe. And I'm not just telling them how to pose. I'm showing them completely what I want them to give me. So when I'm doing all of this, I'm not thinking about like, hey, is this getting done or is this here or whatever? Because I have my team to kind of help facilitate like, hey, this earring needs to be turned and the hair is out of place. So again, because I can just get lost and focus on the artistry, I'm able to enter into a flow on the day of the shoot, which kind of makes my shoots run a little long. But but our shoots are fun. Everybody that's, you know, on our team enjoys being on set on shoot day. We have a great time. I couldn't do it without my team. Clearly, in order for me to be able to get to that point, it's really important that I don't have to worry about so much.
By getting into that flow state, is that how you achieve the standard that you set for your work? You've described it before as arresting, that you want to make it dramatic and stunning, and you really want to show someone something. It's not about capturing how someone might look. It is stopping someone in their tracks. Does that happen when you, as the artist, are in the flow state?
Absolutely. If the energy in the space is off, right? If I'm not able to connect with the client, if I'm not able to, you know, have that kind of magic happening in the space, I don't feel like I'm going to be as successful in creating artwork where somebody else looks at it. They have no idea who this person is. They don't truly know the whole story, right? But they can look at it and get a sense and feel something, because it's not just the background that looks really cool, right? The subject is helping to tell the story because of how they've connected with the camera. So it's absolutely important.
Can you share a little bit more about your background? Because you share that you're an artist that takes pictures, but it's way deeper than that. You've been influenced by all different styles of artwork. What is bleeding into your influence that happens to come out right now through a camera, but what has fed into you as a creative to let us know like how deep this river goes? Because it's just unbelievable when you were sharing with me all the different stuff that you've been influenced by.
Thank you. I all over the place. So my parents are Haitian. I was first born generation here in New Jersey, but I grew up in Massachusetts. So I think that it comes from a bunch of different areas. Like, I love art. I've always been somebody who loved art. My mom had to hide socks and, you know, different pieces of clothing in the house from me. My father had to hide his tools for me. They knew that if they couldn't find certain things like a saw or a drill, it was under my bed. And this isn't me like at the age of like 13 or 14. This is me at the age of like, you know, 8 or 9 or whatever. Like, they wouldn't let me use anything that was too dangerous, right? But I was always in, you know, my dad was in the garage working on stuff. I'd go in there and look at what he's doing. And I also would take his Minolta. So he had an old Minolta in this beautiful leather case bag. And I would try to take photos with it. It was a film, you know, old Minolta camera. So I just loved everything when it came to art. My father's a pastor. So like being on stage, being able to perform, even though like it's not who I am really, I'm able to enter into that kind of space because, you know, my parents trained me to do that. My mom is somebody who spends a lot of attention, like she pays a lot of attention to detail. So growing up, that was something that she always made us like pay attention to the details, like how important details are. So going to school for architecture, interior design, you know, and just being able to take those elements of you know, structure and shape and put that, mix that into what I do, being able to paint. So, you know, whatever it is that we need to do to create the idea or the story, that's what I'm going to do. That's what our team is going to do. And I love that I'm able to like lean into various places of, you know, art that makes me feel fulfilled, that makes me feel like I'm doing something for a living. That's not just like, you know, it's, you know, what I do is multifaceted, and I'm able to move and pivot. If I get bored in one place, right, I can do something different with the kind of work that I do. And my clients are so receptive. It's great because I get to experiment and have fun all the time.
Absolutely. When you find yourself in that flow state in a session, do you ever catch yourself thinking about, oh, I remember this one painting from school, or I remember doing this one thing with the backdrop? Do you find yourself just doing it and not even thinking about it? It comes that, through you?
That. It's freaky. Like there are like certain pieces, certain paintings that I remember from school, or just artwork that I remember growing up because they're iconic pieces. And then looking through my work for like presentations, right, for WPPI or whatever, and then noticing like the similarities, noticing like I wasn't even like, this has been something that's been on my mind, but when I executed it, it wasn't so much that I was thinking of that exactly. It's because it's been in my brain. Mm-hmm. So that you know, that visual literacy, right, I feel is so important, being able to take the time to just absorb all the time things that are beautiful to you, like not just going to a museum to just look at the artwork, right? Mm-hmm. But going to a museum and looking at pieces that speak to you, and then trying to understand why it speaks to you, what makes it so impactful, what was the artist saying, right? I feel like that's something that I've really been leaning into more and more. And I loved art history in college, which is so weird for me. I didn't love history. I loved art history, right? So I feel like all of this is just coming full circle for me.
So you're in the studio, you're in your flow state, you're not thinking, art is flowing through you, and you're working with a client. You're genuinely creating. What are the clients thinking? How are they reacting when you are in your flow?
So part of that thing of them feeling like they can be vulnerable happens because I do not hold back. So in the studio, like I will hoot and holler, I will scream, I will dance. And it's because I'm really happy. Like I'm really excited in that moment. It's not fake, right? And as time has gone on, I've leaned into that more and more because I realized how it affected everybody in the space. Right. And I realized that I could feel comfortable. I could feel vulnerable. Like my studio is where I really, really like just let loose. Right. In that way. Other than, of course, my home and with my family. So my team has become more loose in that way. Right. And it's allowed them to, you know, lean into their strengths, right? And seeing how important their strengths are and with what we do and them celebrating those things. Like when my clients are sitting in the makeup chair with Nikita, that's why I love working with like consistent team members. So like when my clients are sitting in the chair with Nikita, Nikita is so in love with what she does, and that her like seeing me kind of doing the same thing, she will do the same thing. Like she will dance, she will like, so the clients feel this joy in this space. Right. So when they're up there with me, they'll laugh, right? Like if I do something kind of funny or silly, but they leave the space feeling like they know who I am. Mm-hmm. Like they've seen into me, they've seen to everybody through and into everyone that's on the team. And they feel a love, you know what I mean, that they are expressing and telling us about before they leave. And I think that makes their portrait so much more impactful because it's not just like,
remember that shoot that we struggled through and what everything that we had to do, and the photographer was telling us to do this and it was weird and whatever else, they're thinking about a beautiful experience. So when the portraits are up on their walls, they are not just happy with the final result, but they're just thinking about everything that was beautiful that circles like this portrait.
Yeah. Some photographers will come into the studio and think, I'm going to snap a photo that they will love and they'll buy from me. Mm-hmm. When you're in there creating, I'm sure you're wanting to take care of the client, but are you shooting for something that you think is beautiful, knowing they're going to love it? How much of the client concern is coming into your creative flow as you're in there shooting for them?
Oh, a lot, because we spend so much time with them prior to the shoot. So when they're walking in on the day of the shoot, they've already spoken multiple times with different team members. They've already spoken with me. We've sat down and had a whole meeting to talk about, the different concepts that we create based off of their inspiration, based off of their story, based off of visual pieces of inspiration that they send us. And I always make sure to tell them, like, if I'm photographing your maternity session, don't send me other people's maternity sessions. I don't want to see other people's maternity sessions. I don't want to see people's family sessions. I don't want to see any of that. That doesn't tell me about who you are. None of that tells me about your story. So that's what we really, that's the foundation. So because of that, and because of the back and forth, because we are sitting and we're Xing anything that they don't like, and we're moving forward with the things that they do, it's a vision that is shared. They like my aesthetic. They book me because they like my aesthetic. But what we execute is my client's vision.
One more thing on clients before we move on to something else. I would imagine, because your work is so one of a kind and so unique, does that get you referrals easily from the clients that end up loving the experience?
It does. It absolutely does. And what I love about that is those people, they come a lot more confident. Sometimes when people book us, they're not as confident with their ask. They don't know what's possible. So I'll be honest, those are the sessions that are the hardest for me to do. If a client just can't do anything other than, you know, send me other people's maternity sessions, or they're only sending me photos that I've done in the past. So when clients come and they are more bold, it helps us create things that are a lot more unique. But yes, we definitely do get referrals. And I love referrals.
Yeah, I bet. Fantastic. Let's think about that moment. You're in the flow. You're doing your thing. You're dancing. You're shooting what you see. It's magical. Mm-hmm. But is there sometimes a downside of being in flow? Is there a danger to being in flow when you're taking a session?
I would say it is the amount of time I take to shoot. I could, I'm doing much better with it lately. I do have a tendency to overshoot. But you know, the clients don't leave my shoots saying like, oh, that was exhausting, or I'm tired, or like, a lot of times they want to stay and hang out. They want to talk longer, or they want to just, you know, because that's what we've been doing the whole shoot. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely a downside to, yeah, I feel like, getting lost in that moment.
Well, with one of your missions being to help women feel more beautiful and more confident, and as you're doing that and you're capturing it, I can imagine that momentum is irresistible and you want to stay in that mode and in that flow when you're with them.
Absolutely. It's a good time. Like, it's nothing but good vibes. It's a beautiful moment when you're in that space, and when you're creating, right? And everyone is looking at the screen. So we have a 55-inch screen TV on the wall, so that the images everyone can see in the space at the same time. So it's just, when everyone is in that space, everyone is contributing to this moment. And then we're creating something that's beautiful, right? Something that is impactful, that is sensual, that is just moving. You want to keep making, you don't want to stop, right? but I'm getting better at that. I'm doing a much better job at not overshooting.
Let's swing around to the business side for a minute. So you've created some beautiful art. It's one of a kind. How do you find the courage to ask for enough money and get paid for all of this unique artwork that you're creating?
So when you look at what the amount of hours that you've spent building, creating, right? You're also, because, you know, if you're not asking for enough money, then you can't ask for enough help, which means you're spending so much more time creating, right? And in order to, like, I can't go to Hobby Lobby, buy some flowers and just throw it up. Like, it takes time. It's not just the flowers. It's not just fabric. It's what she's wearing. It's making sure that it doesn't look like something that was just off the rack. It's making sure that it looks iconic or, you know, off the runway, something, right? So there are so many tweaks that we're making. There's so many things that we're making. So I was not spending time with my family because I was making headdresses and making whatever structures. I realized that I had to hire help, right? I had to hire more help. Of course, I had, at this point, I had Kimberly, my operations manager, but I needed, and she's amazing. And everybody, if you are doing work like this and you are talking to clients, you're styling them, you're choosing what they're wearing, what their kids are wearing. Oh, this bra's out of stock. Oh, you know, I ordered this too late. It's saying it's not going to get there in time. What are your other options? And you want to create an experience where the clients don't get stressed out. Like, you need help. So like, Kimberly is handling clients and making sure that people have all of that. And then I realized that I needed production assistance and I needed a hair and makeup artist that didn't just, you know, I needed a resident hair and makeup artist. I needed somebody who we know this is the person that we're working with. So when I realized that I had to expand in that way, there was only one way. Like, I had to raise my prices. I had to make it make sense. I wasn't paying myself when I was doing it by myself. All the money was going back into the business. And I was not spending time with my family. So I needed to understand that, like, this type of work was for people who are willing to spend the money for it. And those are the people that you want to work with anyways, mm-hmm. Not the people who are going to take what you do for granted, not the people who are just going to book you and not appreciate the amount of time and effort that you put into that, but instead with people who truly appreciate the artistry, the time, the effort, the intention that we give. So it was an easy swap. When I started to see the difference in the clientele that we were getting, when I started to actually start having a savings, when I started to, you know, and then on top of that, because of the work that we were creating, especially, and this is maybe like 9-8 years ago, nobody was doing what we were doing. So we were very much in demand. We were able to start charging more because we were getting booked out. So that was a blessing. But regardless, even when business is low, my prices are not coming down because in order for me to be able to do this, it's going to cost this. And I need to be able to pay myself as well as my team.
Yeah. Which had to have been validating and empowering and make you feel like I'm doing what I should be doing. This flow state, this gift that I have to give people is clearly in demand.
And to know that, like, I have something that no one can take from me and it can make me and my family money, it's an amazing feeling. Absolutely.
You're not showing up and making donuts every day, right? You're giving this special piece of you to your clients. Mm-hmm. Do you ever burn out or wear down when you have to do that consistently?
Yes, absolutely. And I don't truly understand when burnout starts and when burnout stops. Because I feel like every day you kind of reach these points where you're like, oh, I kind of want to just go do something else right now for a little bit or whatever. And that's, I think, because of how adventurous I am. Like, I honestly would love to like travel to another part of the world and do something in a different way. That's just the way my brain thinks. But also the constant expectation of being able to create something amazing on command. Like I'm hiring Sophia Barrett Studios and they're going to make me this amazing, beautiful piece of art. That is also very stressful. And it's something that like we do promise our clients, like we're going to take the time to make you something that is unique and that is amazing that you're going to be excited for generations. Right.
Yep.
So what I do as much as possible is other things, like even during a work day, like I'm taking time to go out for walks. I'm taking the time to meditate. I'm taking the time to like, I do a lot of self-care for myself, making sure that like I'm scheduling time to for family time, to spend time with my daughter, to spend time with my husband. I'm so much more like focused on that within the last couple of years, especially after COVID. I felt like, you know, COVID helped to uncover lots of things for people. So I am also a lot more adventurous when it comes to like self-care and things that I can make that aren't related to what I do for a living. Just drawing for fun. Mm-hmm. I am trying to improve my painting skills. And that's something that I eventually will be putting back into the business. And so my goal is to not just photograph portraits, but then to later recreate those in a painted portrait for my clients. So it's just understanding and not sitting in that and allowing it to turn into depression or anything else, or like self-doubt or imposter syndrome. I am very intentional. Once I start feeling a certain way, I know I need to shift. I know I need to pivot. I know I need to do breath work, meditate, pray more, go to church. I do my best not to sit in it.
Those are all great ideas. And I'm glad that you addressed it, because if someone pulls up your website and sees your stuff, I mean, this is just unbelievable work. It is artwork, and it looks like artwork, like it should be hanging on the wall of a museum. It's that beautiful. But to know that what you just shared is real human stuff, mm-hmm. that a real estate photographer knows what burnout feels like, a volume photographer knows what burnout feels like, and to see you taking control of it in that way and sharing some ideas is really helpful. So let's talk for a second about flow. If someone's curious about it, they've listened to the interview and they think, yes, there is a part of me that I wish I could bring into my sessions so I could work through my flow state better. Any ideas on how they could get there, or maybe the first steps towards finding their flow in a session?
Mm-hmm. When I think about the things that I used to draw when I was a kid, it's the same things that I do now. I always drew women's faces and I always drew flowers. Those are the things that I've done since I was a child. I think that we are born with our gifts. We are born with like who we're supposed to be. And because of society, because of, you know, tradition, you know, and just how things happen year after year, whatever, like we get pulled away from those things very early in life. So I would say, think about the things that brought you joy when you were a kid. Think about the things that bring you joy now. Think about where you like to spend the majority of your time. Think about like, hey, if I had all the time in the world, right? If I was a billionaire and money wasn't an issue, what would I love to spend my time doing? Like eventually I want to have a studio out on a beach somewhere, like by the ocean. I want to have when I say a studio, it's not just a place where I'm creating photography or portraits. It's a place where I'm doing ceramic work. It's a place where I'm painting. It doesn't matter how much money I have. That's my end goal. That's where I want to be. So I think think about like what your dreams are and try to think about how you can, you know, align that with what you do for a living. Even if it's like a hobby that you start and you find a way to make that make money for you. Maybe even ask ChatGPT to give you some ideas. So that would be my advice.
It's amazing how much ChatGPT knows about us. Like if you really ask chat, hey, you know, tell me about myself. And then it kicks out like this deep thought report. It's like, no, stop, turn it off. I don't want to.
I don't want to ask it. I've heard that. And I'm like, I'm not asking that question yet. I'm wait a little longer. Maybe I'm afraid to ask that question.
It's been a great interview and a conversation. We get to learn from you at Imaging USA too. So what are you presenting at Imaging in January?
I am going to be teaching on how you can create truly impactful backdrops without having to spend a whole lot of money. You don't need a lot of props, even money. You could use paper and create truly magnificent backdrops without you spending more than maybe $50. So I'm going to be talking about that. I think people think that what we create, we're always spending a lot of money. We're always, you know, renting props or doing the most, but a lot of our really, you know, well-received portraits were done with very simple props.
I'm sure it'll be a full house and I'm sure it'll be great. Just like this conversation was. Sophia, thank you for joining us on the Professional Photographer Podcast. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you so much, Pat. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Professional Photographer Podcast. We have more episodes on the way, so if you're not yet subscribed, you might miss them. Hit subscribe, hit like, and leave us a comment. Tell us, what did Sophia say that made you go, ooh, I am stealing that? Because there were a lot of stealable moments inside that episode. And if you're not yet a member of Professional Photographers of America, you're missing it. PPA offers incredible resources for photographers like you, like equipment insurance, top-notch education, and a supportive community of photographers ready to help you succeed. It's perfect for photographers who are serious about growing their business in a sustainable and profitable way. At PPA, you belong here. Discover more about membership at ppa.com. That's ppa.com. I'm Pat Miller, founder of the Small Business Owners Community and the publisher of the Small Business Summary Newsletter. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate it. We'll see you right here next time. Take care.